Crop circles. Well, let's do it. Crop circles 101. For those of you that have just joined the crop circle scene and trying to find out what it's all about, patterns that you see in the fields called crop circles have been around for a very long time. Longer than you think, in actuality, from the mowing devil, which, you know, has been hundreds of years ago, down to ancient styles turning up in fields thousands of years ago. And the designs themselves initially were very simple. They were just simple circles or rings. Farmers will tell you that they've seen them occurring in the fields for as long as they can remember. In the early days, there was no real explanation. Nobody claimed to have done them because they weren't out in the public eye. It was like a hidden experience that was taking place in the English countryside. Could have been appearing elsewhere too, in other countries, but there was no actual record of anything significant happening. We see ancient monuments like Stonehenge and Avebury in a circular formation, and we can but speculate on why they are that shape. Who's to say that a pattern didn't appear in that very location thousands of years ago? And in those times, the people living in the area would have looked at it as a sign from the gods. So they would have to build a monument to remember it by. Thus you get situations like Stonehenge that could quite easily have occurred from such an occurrence. It's very important to understand why some of these ancient structures may have got, how they may have got there. And how they may have got there is probably the biggest question of all. Like the blue stones in Stonehenge, a lot of people wonder why they're there. And it's the same question with the crop circles. And then they transformed and started to change shape as humanity's awareness started to shift. And of course, as they became more in the public eye, they became more complex. Then you had government cover-ups, government saying that these people did it, or Doug and Dave, the situation there. And to be honest, once you look at the types of patterns that those boys create, then you look at what you've got out there, you start to think, well, there's no way they could have done it. One, they're too complex. And two, we've seen others try to duplicate and not done a successful job. So, it's easy for humanity to claim that they did something even when they didn't do it. It creates a doubt about a circumstance that's occurring that could be quite natural. It's a bit like the pyramids. Everybody says, oh, the pharaohs built the pyramids. Yet in actuality, there's no actual physical hieroglyphic evidence to show that that actually took place. Sure, they found villages nearby with different structures, you know, symbolism being shown about quarrying and stuff like that. But you've got to remember that there are other pyramids in the area that were built in a totally different way from the way the three on the Giza Plateau were built. So, and there's no hieroglyphs in the pyramids themselves. There were no mummies ever found, no treasure ever found. Even Al-Mamun, when he put his hole through the Cheops pyramid, he never found anything. The point is, people will say, oh yes, but what about the hieroglyphs up above the king's chamber? Well, they were put there a couple of hundred years ago by certain individuals that were at the time exploring. So, you know, you've got to recognize what's fake and what's not. And you've got to get real about these situations and keep an open mind about it. If Egyptologists go into a circumstance and say that, oh well, you know, that's what I was taught, so that's what I believe, well, that's not an open mind. That's being brainwashed by something that you've been told by somebody else. And it's the same with the crop patterns. You've got to have an open mind with how you view them. So in the early 1990s, the patterns changed formation. Late 80s, early 90s, when we got the big formations, the big petroglyphs, or pictograms, as some people like to call them. And these were combinations of designs and patterns that stretched across half of the East Field, even further. People have had all sorts of responses from the patterns. There's been a lot of doubt and speculation about how some get there, even today in 2008. People look at them and just stand in awe. Others sit back and chuckle to themselves and wait for somebody to jump up and down and say, "Oh yes, you know, this is a brilliant pattern, it's real," or whatever. Everybody gets caught up on how it got there. Is it man-made, is it not? When in reality, that's not the issue. The issue is what the pattern is doing when it's there. I personally don't care how it got there. I'm more interested in what it's doing and the dynamics of it when it's there. Because I can show you for a fact that human design creates energy. It's like when they built the casino pyramid in Las Vegas. They had problems with people getting sick when they walked into a specific floor, and that's because the dimensions were all wrong. I had one of those boys ask me, "You know, what do you think's wrong with it?" And I said, "Well, the shape's wrong. If you shift one of the walls, you might get more successful with it." And they did redesign it, and it stopped the problem. You go into buildings and you feel comfortable. You go into other buildings, you feel uncomfortable. Well, that's the dynamics of the shape of the building and how it's harnessing the energy. And this is an area that is grossly misunderstood, not only in architectural principles, but in the general public sense and science as a whole. So it's time to sort of recognize what shape does and how it does it. So this is just a brief 101 experience about the crop circles. Remember, follow the tram lines. Don't disturb the farmer. He's more interested in how much tonnage he gets per acre. Because remember, if a stalk is broken and the crop is still green, the seed head won't go any further. So it's smaller than it should be. If the crop is bent, the stalk still grows and the seed head gets bigger and grows to full size. So then the farmer gets maximum tonnage per acre. Price has a lot to do with it as well, but then that's their living. So it's always good to respect. I still see, even today in 2008, people stomping across the field not following the tram tracks because they're too lazy to follow the tracks. It's really a case of understanding that you're walking amongst somebody else's livelihood. And all it takes is a little bit of respect and a little bit of effort just to follow the tram tracks and be aware of what you're doing and respect the farmer's wishes. And if we all work with the farmer, then they might work with us a bit better.